You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
So the next passage that we're about to read comes from one of the most famous and important conversion stories in all of the Bible. It's perhaps one of the most pivotal moments in Christian history outside of Christ himself. Acts 9 starts very dramatically with this phrase, "Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Breathing threats and murder. That's how Acts 9 starts. But then it changes dramatically as it goes on, because it starts with one of the biggest enemies of the followers of Jesus, and it details the ways in which he becomes one of Jesus' strongest followers. So while on the way to Damascus to imprison Christians, he was struck by a bright light and a voice from heaven saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" The voice of Jesus called him to Damascus, but he was blinded and had to be led by hand into the city. So this is the backdrop of the story we are about to hear of Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. This is a story about a blinded zealot who enters Damascus to bring ruination to the Christians in the city. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. A couple things that are remarkable here. One is that I could say Straight Street without, try saying that, it's really hard. So this is a remarkable story though, and it ends with Saul becoming rechristened as Paul, who later went on to have a fairly prolific career in church founding and letter writing. You may have heard of him from such hits as the Bible. Indeed, this is the story of the conversion of Paul, who helped birth the Christian church, who went from one of its most zealous persecutors to one of its most zealous proponents. This passage is one of significant consequence for the Christian church. It shows that God uses even the most violent opponents to good ends, and shows the power of Christ to compel people to repentance. It shows the way in which God places people in dangerous and unpredictable situations to work the good. Look at what happened with Saul. He approached a city with all the power in the world. He came in as an inquisitor, looking to persecute, breathing threats and murder. And before he marched into town to commit his awful deeds, he was literally knocked over by the very person he was coming to persecute, which dramatically reversed his outlook on the world. But this is not just the story of Paul's conversion. It's also the story of a faithful servant who risked his own life and helped birth the church, but in a different way. This is also a story about a man named Ananias who went to Saul, who opened his arms, who welcomed him like a brother, who helped open Saul's eyes and helped lead him to serve the kingdom. Ananias was a faithful servant who lived in Damascus and who God asked to lay hands on Saul. Ananias does not know what happened on the road. Ananias doesn't know. All he knows is that Saul is not very nice to people like him, to put it mildly. But after being encouraged by God, he goes and he returns sight to Saul. Ananias' name is mentioned only a handful of times in the entire Bible, and really not much is known about him. He's not a famous character, but he is important to the story of Christianity. Without Ananias, or someone like him, Paul would never have recovered his sight. He wouldn't have seen the folly of his prior life. He wouldn't have gone on to provide for the foundation of the church that we know today. Now, could God have opened Saul's eyes without Ananias being there at all, without anyone being there at all? Yes, of course, we're talking about God. So if God can equip Ananias to do this, then certainly God could have done it solo. But God didn't do that. God didn't open Saul's eyes. God brought Ananias. Brought Ananias to Saul to open his eyes, to give him a companion in learning and growth. This is an important thing for us to remember as we think about our church's vision for 2020. Through the month of October, we're focusing on our sermons on our 2020 vision and the ways in which our eyes are open to what the future looks like. Last week, Charlie talked about how our eyes are open to some of the issues in our world and the global mission partnerships that we as a church have engaged in. He talked about the work that we're supporting in Guatemala, in Peru, in South Sudan, and many other places. And today, we are talking about how our eyes are opened to the needs of the community here in Madison. Last week, we heard the story of Jesus healing Bartimaeus, and we heard it again today. In this story, Jesus comes to Bartimaeus. God incarnate comes to Bartimaeus and heals him of his blindness. And so one prayer that we have this month for us is that God would open our eyes to our neighbor. But in reading the story of Ananias this week, I'm also praying that we find ways to have our neighbor open our eyes to God. So I'm not saying that we're Saul. Let me get that out of the way. I don't think we are Saul prior to the conversion. We aren't the church on the corner breathing threats and murder. We aren't persecuting or threatening or riding onto State Street, not Straight Street, State Street, with a letter that will allow us to round up the non-believers. But there are areas, I'm sure, in which we as a church have blind spots. And that's okay. No church, no institution can have a full picture of everything that's going on. So it's to that end that we need to be on the lookout for Ananias as he knocks on our door. For a church like ours, it can look like many different things. Ananias can come to us in many different ways. So for us to look for Ananias, we need to look for the needs of our community. We need to find ways, like Paul, that after our eyes are open, we continue to pursue the kingdom of God. So how does that happen? How do we recognize Ananias? A lot of the times, it can look like a member of the church who brings a new idea to the community, and then for the church to follow through on that idea. I saw this in action this past summer. After worship one Sunday, I had a member of the church in the handshake line mentioned that she gives blood regularly. It was related to the sermon. I can't remember the exact context. It wasn't just, hey, do you know what? I give blood. No. And I responded it had been a while since I gave blood and that I missed being able to do so. The following week, I got an email from her that said, I just contacted the Red Cross. I could organize a blood drive at church. What do you think? So in August, we hosted a blood drive. The results of this drive were incredible. You can see there are pictures from the blood drive here. We collected 33 pints of blood. We registered a staggering 24 new donors. That is 24 people who had not gave blood at that blood drive. It opened my eyes to the needs in this community. And hopefully for those 24 donors, it opened their eyes to the possibility to give blood again in the future. There we are at the blood drive. Everybody's smiling despite the fact that they're laying there bleeding. It was great. In a follow-up email, I was informed that a pint of my blood was sent to the UW hospital. They let you know where your blood goes. So that means that somewhere in the Madison community, there's somebody walking around with a little bit of Covenant inside them, which never would have happened if that individual member didn't come up and open my eyes and open up the church's eyes to the needs in the community. Our eyes are also opened when we have mission partners approach us with their needs. Do you know what I don't spend a lot of time thinking about? Healthy snacks. Now, it's not because I don't like healthy food. I'll eat an apple, I will. But rather, I have pretty ready access to healthy foods. It's easy for me to get my hands on an apple or an orange or other healthy snacks that I definitely know about and am not just ignorant of. But our partner at Glenn Stevens Elementary School, they opened my eyes and opened our eyes to the ways in which we can help the youngest in our community. Every month of the school year, we bring healthy snacks. Enough that every student in the entire school gets something healthy to eat. Just this past Monday, we brought 538 apples to their school. It's 538 apples that we brought and delivered to the school so the kids there could have at least one healthy snack that week. And we connect with the school in a lot of other ways, such as our pen pal program. Pen pal program, which has helped open my eyes to meet interesting and wonderful students that I never would have had a chance to get to know. And just this week, Clara Thompson, our parish associate who's away at the women's retreat, participated in the principal experience and had her eyes opened to the life of a principal. It's a chance for a day in the life, kind of a job shadowing with the principal. That's Clara right there on the left and Sarah Galanter-Gashevsky from Glenn Stevens, the principal there. We are blessed in Madison. We are truly and deeply blessed in this city to have a wealth of places that can open our eyes to the needs of the community. Recently, my eyes were opened by two of our mission partners, Madison Area Urban Ministries and The Road Home. They've collaborated on a new project called Healing House. Healing House is a medical respite center for people who are discharged from hospitals but don't have a place to go to recover. These people are often children recovering from surgeries or mothers, homeless mothers who don't have anywhere to go after giving birth. And with Healing House, they're given a chance to stay there for 28 days to recover in a safe, warm, supportive environment with case management services and meals provided. They're opening the eyes of the Madison community to the needs of this vulnerable population. We're lucky to have partnered with them for many years and to continue this partnership as we've started preparing meals at Healing House for the residents who are living there. At Covenant, we are blessed to have regular opportunities to serve the community. Twice a year, we serve food to the college community of Press House, the Presbyterian campus ministries. Through our serving with that community, our eyes are opened up to the good work that God is doing at the UW and the lives of our neighbors in the school. Every other month, we serve food at Grace Episcopal Shelter. Fried chicken is usually on the menu, and it's always a welcome treat. There's a group who was serving just last month. We've also started serving at the Triangle Community Apartments, which is a low-income housing community that hosts community meals for anyone who wants to come and get a meal every Monday. We've started doing that. We've done it twice now, and in fact, on Monday, October 21st, there's a group of us going to Triangle Ministries. As of this moment, there are two slots left. There are two slots left. There's a sign up on the bulletin board, and if you can avoid the stampede, don't leave now. But there are two slots left if you're interested in serving on Monday, October 21st. If you get there too late and don't have a chance to sign up, but you want to do this again some other time, please, please, please let me know, and I'll put your name on a list. You'll be the first people I email. And it's not just the adults in the congregation whose eyes are open to the good things in Madison. The youth in this congregation are active in addressing the needs of the community. Just last Friday, a group from our church went to the River Food Pantry. This isn't from last Friday, 2 days ago, because I didn't have a time to get them in the slideshow. But these are pictures of our youth serving at the River Food Pantry. And we give thanks to the youth, but we also give thanks to our community partners at the River Food Pantry who are working and collaborating with Madison to help end hunger. We give thanks that they open our eyes and the eyes of our youth to the needs of our community. The children are also involved in a lot of different projects in our community, including participation with Project Linus, which is a longstanding ministry here, in which we make blankets for children in hospitals. We will be making blankets again on November 3rd, so children and adults are more than welcome to join us in tying up some blankets. November 3rd, it's going to be a great time, an opportunity for us to have our eyes open to the needs of children who are sick and ailing. So in Madison, we are blessed, truly richly blessed, to be surrounded by people like Ananias, willing to reach out to us, to open our eyes to the great things that are happening in our community, great things that are happening in this city. During October, we're asking people to consider a monetary pledge to the church. This pledge helps to support our operating budget, and a good portion of that budget goes to support the organizations mentioned, as well as many others that I cut for time because you have to go somewhere at some point today. It's also a good time to pledge ourselves, our whole selves, our time, our talents, our skills, to doing God's work in the community. It's a time to pledge that we will look around with open eyes at the potential for good work and kingdom building. Whether that pledge is to do so inside this building or with the covenant community, or if it's to recommit yourself to doing good works with an organization that you volunteer with, or doing good works with your office or your school. That is wonderful to have your eyes opened and to look around. Like Saul, we are occasionally blinded, and we need help to open our eyes. So as we move forward, I encourage us all to listen to the voices of our neighbors, to listen to our siblings here in this building, to listen to the work being done by organizations who do great things and need our help. And then I pray that with eyes open, we go out and serve the Lord, making Madison a healthier, stronger, and better place for our having been here. Amen.